told it you can eat my cookies? No! Put that cookie down! Now!
Well, this is where we are.
I'm the captain now.
Oh my gosh! We'll take a look at it.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Oh, Darwin strikes again. This time, possibly an eclipse viewer. Oh, you know, was real smart, murdered her entire family because she may have confused eclipse with, what sounds like it, apocalypse. Not kidding. That's my working theory. Good morning, everyone. It's Practice Friday. Brian Suits here, fully awake and the whole thing. Did not hit another bobcat today with fully functional fill-in producer Wyatt. That was the big news yesterday.
I heard yesterday. That's shocking, but I'm glad you didn't hit one today.
It was a bummer because someone asked, you know, who also has kind of the same commute. Well, you know, where exactly did you hit the bobcat? Because it, you know, it would be evidence, you know, left turn. It was that there's a thing. I drive by a thing called the Cowboy Church. And it's a church on a corner, and it's called the Cowboy Church because you can ride your horse to a hitching post and go to church. And I don't go to church. I like being around the kind of people that ride a horse to their church, and those are my neighbors. And so, how about you? I did confirm on the way home yesterday that I'm 1-0. Against bobcats. Now, who can really say that? I don't know. Are you a golf fan?
A golf fan? A
golfer or golf
fan? I'm a mini golfer. I'm a casual, whatever pops up on ESPN, too.
Is there a rain delay or what? Because that's supposed to kick off, you know, to mix your sports metaphors today. And there's really a deficit of sports ball. Now, the Kraken are the only team in the NHL not making the playoffs. They mastered that. Now we have the Masters and no other sports ball until baseball starts counting. But there's supposed to be a rain delay, but I guess we got to wait and see live. But Tiger Woods is back, and that's probably worth a couple million more eyeballs per day, is that he's back. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to the Masters, I won't be baited. I want to see golf, and I refuse to be Masters baited by CBS. I want to see Tiger. And he listened at last. We'll get to all that here in just a second because it is the day of, as we're approaching the 80th anniversary of the successful D-Day invasion, you're going to start seeing trickles of, you know, Greatest Generation, Final Survivors, you know, and stuff like that. But you're not seeing any anniversaries of stuff leading up to that. And we're near the anniversary of one of the most tragic events of World War II, not caused by the enemy. Well, not caused by real combat. Ike had ordered the most realistic exercises to date on the southern coast of England, where the beaches were nearly identical to Normandy. But the location and the secrecy of the invasion was still closely held. The Germans didn't know. But if they knew where these live-fire exercises were being held, they would have a pretty good clue that it was nothing like Calais, where Hitler, the genius, had predicted they'd be. They were way more like the low-sloping beaches of Normandy, directly south. And so there were two horrible miscommunications that probably taught more people about what happens in conflict than anything. But it's they were called Exercise Tiger. So that's why I'm just remembering that. But that will be the 10th break later on today. Not now. Very actual radio is happening right now. But I'm going to tease you all with this morning's, what did I do with it? With this morning's morning montage, if I can find it. What have you been doing lately, Wyatt?
Oh, I've been getting a healthy diet of baseball, watching the Tacoma Rainiers. I work there running the cameras.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, actually. And then they've actually been playing winning baseball
You know those old-timey fold-down seats on the very first row?
Yes, I do.
You know where those are from?
Where are they from?
The San Francisco Seals.
Okay, yeah. You were telling me about that Monday.
Yeah, the butts and the history of those seats is that there were butts in those seats that used to watch Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, my goodness.
He married Marilyn Monroe.
That's a fun fact I didn't think I needed to know today.
Brian's cascade of tangents because I found... Everyone, calm down. I found the morning montage. Yes. All right. Okay. So, get excited again because once again, I found the morning montage right here. I don't know what's happening. It's my Adobe Audition. So, thanks, Bin Laden.
While we're saying, oh, let's avoid World War III, Putin is already in World War IV now.
Why I make over three times the federal minimum wage, and I cannot afford to live. Two-bedroom apartment, $2,200. Who the f- can afford that?
Many of these kids are known to police.
These violent adolescents, age 12, 15, and 3 16-year-olds.
Police in Renton are looking for a teenager. Officers also recovered a fully loaded AK-47 pistol.
Kitsap County Deputy Joshua Buonvino tells me it was just another morning when the unexpected happened.
The Amber Alert went out, and I looked at my phone, and I saw that it was her.
We are leave
our house now!
I don't feel anything emotionally except for rage. 24/7, 365, at 1,000,000%.
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more.
So I'm watching. So there you go. That's your morning montage. All that stuff will be expanded out, and I'm really really torn on this because I want to start with this crazy lady because I had an epiphany, and today's not the 10th. Today's the 11th. Okay, well there you go. No wonder. The epiphany was this. Okay, so a woman, we're on the West Coast. Really very little perceptible effect of solar eclipse. The moon, which orbits the Earth, has a predictable path. And we now, because we're such geniuses in 2024, can figure out when and where it will be. There are people that will go their entire life without seeing what the East Coast saw on Monday. And there were people in the ancient world, by the way, that would be born and die without ever seeing an eclipse. They would hear that such a thing could happen, but they didn't believe these stories, except that, you know, people would point out to them that, you know, they really did happen and the whole thing. They were legends. And so if you did happen to be in the path of a solar eclipse, it was a very natural human thing. Apparently, right down to this day and age, where it was something you felt, some slight you had made against a god. And I'm sorry that child sacrifice keeps coming into the first hours for the last couple of weeks. But the more I read about the Punic Wars, because you understand, plan A should be your plan A, and it should be executed to perfection. Plan B is not make a second plan, okay? I joke about that, because you know my two rules. The enemy gets a vote, and hope is not a plan. But that's why plan B is not make a second plan. It's a weird natural human thing, and I couldn't tell you why. But for some reason, when the sun was eclipsed in England, people looked around at each other and they wanted an explanation. Just like in March or February of 2020. We wanted an explanation and we wanted answers from a high priest. So that's how you get your Fauci. And that's how you get mask Nazis and Karens and all that, because it's a natural civilizational reflex, just like we're one amoeba. To look for an answer or to assume that it's the wrath of the creator, really for real, for whatever the slightest thing. No one said that about floods, because floods happened every year and they didn't require explanation. You didn't sacrifice your kids because of a flood, but the sun goes away Now you're thinking, what have we done wrong? It's all over. I can't see the light anywhere. And in the case of this woman, and I'll play this for you, because you're going to listen. This woman is now dead. Okay, a woman who is a psychic, which is total hooey. So you're already not one of the world's great thinkers. But a woman in L.A., when the eclipse did not result in the rapture, got in an argument with her husband, with her boyfriend, father of the two kids, stabs him she stabbed him in the heart as he was lying down. And so then she tried to drag him out into the hallway, like that would cover things up, you know, or something. And then she pulled him back in the apartment because it wasn't leg day, or she got tired. Then she gets in the Porsche Cayenne with the 9-year-old holding the 8-month-old infant and starts cranking down the 405, the San Diego Freeway. What we in Seattle call the I-405 is down there called the 405. So she's ripping down the 405, at which point she crosses over the legendary Mulholland Boulevard, crosses under it. And that's the time when she decided to throw the 9-year-old out the car holding the 8-month-old. The 8-month-old loses the child in the impact with the 405, and the child is dead at the scene, the 9-year-old badly injured, and she's the only witness. The woman then cranks down the 405. She gets to 101, and she crashes into a tree in Redondo Beach. Harshing Redondo Beach is mellow. But the woman is nuts, and I'll tell you what my theory is. It's a pretty simple one after we hear this from ABC7.
Online, Danielle Johnson was known as Danielle Ayoka, a popular astrology influencer and self-proclaimed divine healer with more than 100,000 followers on X.
Account suspended.
An appearance on a podcast several months ago, a possible foreshadowing.
So, okay. So I say not a gifted thinker, with all due respect to the dead. Here's Exhibit A.
Wing of the tragedy to come.
When there's a full moon, there's higher crime rates, there's more births. Eclipses, there's more births, there's more deaths.
In the days leading up to Monday's eclipse and the murder, she posted about the end of the world. One reading in part, wake up, the apocalypse is here. In another, she said the eclipse is the epitome of spiritual war.
She didn't, okay, by her own words, she didn't understand that the moon is the moon of the earth, that the moon orbits the earth.
More births, eclipses, there's more births, there's more deaths.
The full moon is the moon outside of the earth's shadow being illuminated by the sun. And so you know why, you know the phrase when something is perfect, when people say planets align, she had apparently lived her life blissfully unaware that the Earth's moon, the Earth, and the sun occasionally in certain perspectives and places on the Earth align. I have a theory that this woman, well, let me hold off on the theory.
For clues as to a possible motive. Disturbing new details painting a chilling picture of her alleged crimes. Investigators say Johnson stabbed her boyfriend, 29-year-old Jalen Chaney, to death inside their Woodland Hills apartment after a fight early Monday morning. Her 9-year-old daughter apparently witnessing the crime. According to the LA Times, Johnson reportedly tried to drag Chaney's bloody body out of the apartment and down the hall, but gave up and dragged him back inside. She fled with her two daughters, killing her 8-month-old and seriously injuring the 9-year-old by pushing them out of her moving car on the 405.
The 405.
Her final act, taking her own life by crashing into a tree.
So there you go. The 405, the scene of this, then the 101 down in Redondo Beach. Okay, so clearly this woman doesn't understand the full moon does affect human moods. It's weird, but that's science. It does. The full moon, when the moon is even closer to the earth, you get higher tides on the side where the moon is because the moon has its own gravitational pull. There's all that. All that's true. The eclipse has nothing to do with the sun going dark. It's the moon traveling in its orbit, intersecting with the light of the sun in the middle of the day. The woman clearly, and here's my theory, and here's why it the if you see holes in this theory, you tell me. I think I'm satisfied that the woman is dumb as a mud fence in a rainstorm, but smart enough to have a 9-year-old and an 8-month-old.
That's the scariest part.
Yeah. But I mean, let's look at the headlines every day. There's loads and loads of oxygen thieves that should never have babies, but they do. This woman didn't understand the difference between an eclipse and an apocalypse. I'm not kidding. On her Twitter feed, which is now account suspended, she was talking about the eclipse, and conflating it with a apocalypse, because she could go her entire life and never see an eclipse, but her Twitter feed, her social media was all about what to do to avoid an apocalypse. Everything was apocalypse this and apocalypse that. She thought that Monday was science predicting that Monday would be the apocalypse. I'm not kidding. I'm dead serious, it's got nothing to do with political correctness. She didn't know what an eclipse was. I mean, her confusion between the human madness during a full moon and human madness during an eclipse. And I'm telling you that this is the last human with a reflex to sacrifice her children and blow up her family and herself and kill herself. I mean, this is like what was that wacky cult in San Diego where everybody wore Nikes and they killed themselves? And I forget what the celestial event was, but it was a celestial event. And the idea, the notion that you've done something to slight your God or a God or the God or whatever seems to be accompanying it, or that somehow you're attuned to a different spectral plane. But I mean, it's a horrific story. I think we've established that. But I think you don't have to go real far to find a motive. I mean, you know, obviously LAPD you have to put a bow on it.
Detectives say they are interviewing family and friends to get a better understanding of Johnson's mental health, but say
it wasn't good. Yeah, I'm not even a relative.
They never know what the exact motive was for the heartbreaking murder-suicide.
Well, it was because she thought the eclipse was the apocalypse. So, hey, science, how about changing those words? I mean, I think it's that simple. I really do think she didn't know. Did everybody see the body cam footage of the successful Amber Alert resolution by a Kitsap County deputy who had some good news, really good news. Is the perfect outcome for an Amber Alert is that you capture the parent or whoever kidnapped the kid, and the child is unharmed, and that was the outcome. On Sunday, that Amber Alert you got in the morning was resolved a few hours later by a sharp-thinking Kitsap County deputy whose body cam video, even though he was off duty, he went on duty because he had a cop, notion or whatever. What's that called when cops have a inside knowledge, a best bet? Well, he'll say it here, but anyway, it's I'd play some of the body cam, but the body cam is old. Give me open the door. It's all that because he knew by name the woman, and Channel 4 caught up with him, and he's not crazy as it turns out.
That's right, Preston. He said it was a cop's intuition saying he was
intuition.
He was at home when he saw the Amber Alert and he recognized the mom, Shannon. He said he just had this sinking feeling and he thought he might just know where he could find the mom and possibly the little boy.
Now we go to body cam.
I just had a hunch. That's it. That's the only thing I can explain.
Kitsap County Deputy Joshua Buonvino tells me it was just another morning when the unexpected happened.
And I was at home enjoying my coffee in the morning when the Amber Alert went out, and I looked at my phone and I saw that it was her.
The deputy says the sheriff's office is familiar with the child's mother, and 2 weeks before she abducted Teddy, he saw her in the Seebeck area, the exact location.
I know Seebeck well, and by the way, it sounds to me like we had some judge's orders, and that's why the sheriff's department was familiar, because of past history, and they've been called to certain addresses, and so they know what's what and who's who.
Found her on Sunday with the boy.
I just so happened to be coming around the corner, and there was her vehicle. Hey, Shannon. I started on the handle. It was locked. I put my hand in. I told her, I need you to step out of the vehicle. She said, okay, and starts up the vehicle and begins to drive off.
Stop. Insert body cam video here.
Watching the video for the first time together, the deputy tells me it was in this moment he knew he had to get her to stop the car.
Turn it off.
Teddy was living with...
So she was going to start up and drive away. She attempted to. He stopped. She's out. He cuffed her. She's in control, and he gets custody of the kid, in possession. The Amber Alert's over. The original Amber Alert went out with a picture of the 4-year-old boy and the kidnapper, Shannon, the mom. So he does it right. Yay, police! If Representative Couture wants to proceed with, I think the common sense law that you allow counties to remove children from drug addict mothers or fathers, from drug addict custodial parents, you've got two great exhibits. You have Exhibit A last week where drug addict mom, rather than voluntarily giving her kid up to his own grandmother until you get clean, kills him instead out of spite because grandma was about to go in front of the Snohomish County Court. So there's that, or in this case, the woman gets out of jail and it turns out restraining orders and custody orders are printed on paper, not Kevlar, and she goes and kidnaps the kid. So anyway, a great outcome there. And an example of a great thinker is Garry Kasparov, former world chess champion. Let's hear about his thinking about America when we come back right after the same 770 KTTH. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and we'll do a checking of your texting here in a little bit at 800-465-8770 on your practice Friday, the 11th of your April, your 2024, and here's the full tiger, because you know what, when you say something like what he's about to say, you kind of expect maybe a follow-up.
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more.
The question was, are you here because you think you can win another green jacket?
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more. Want me to describe that any more than that, or we're good?
Well, they're the ones. I mean, they just left him hanging there because usually he's a little more verbose than that, and stuff. Well, so I don't know what it is about them, but the burgeoning lock up your Legos. They're you know, Wyatt, you're one of these younger kids that think you should live in a gated community and it should be provided by the government. What is it? Why are Legos retro or hot again? They're not retro hot, but they're hot again.
I think there's this weird trend that happens with very vintage retro stuff. There was a while where and it's still going on where vinyl was making a comeback too, and then it just people I think who are obsessed with
I bought one of those for the kid for the 14th birthday, a USB turntable.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well, you're literally all the coolness of records was that it was running through a fat vacuum tube. Like my mom and dad had a big octagonal stereophonic atomic age record set, and it had to warm. My dad was from the generation where when a radio had to warm up. If I just turned it on and went to KISW, he was like, let it warm up. It's like, it doesn't get better mileage. It doesn't play better music. Like, it doesn't make Zeppelin release a new album or come back or reform or something. But yeah, so it went through vacuum tubes. Like, that's Lenny Kravitz's whole magic, was he recorded, you know, old school analog on vacuum tubes. And so, and I could hear that, that the records that she was playing, these Nirvanas or these the first Pearl Jam, it wasn't coming through as fat as it still was a needle, but Lego. I mean, that's kind of a, that's kind of a dividing line between childhood and young adulthood.
And people just have this weird thing about collecting old stuff, especially with Lego. There's a
by collecting you mean paying for it.
Essentially, yeah, paying lots of money for it.
Okay, well, that's not the point of this story. Why would anyone steal $300,000 in Lego sets? Believe it or not, there's a booming black market. What? Who was it? Inside Edition called it a national wave of Lego larceny, and I put the blame on Lego Fortnite.
Oh yeah,
that's so damn fun. Lego Fortnite is if you want a bridge between you and your mid to later teenage kids, get Lego Fortnite. Or you play it on the PC or whatever. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And of course, I'm Lego Batman.
Of course.
Because Lego Batman is all about the rage.
Right now.
I don't talk about feelings, Alfred. I don't have any. I've never seen one. I'm a night-stalking, crime-fighting vigilante and a heavy metal rapping machine. I don't feel anything emotionally except for rage.
Right.
24/7, 365, at 1,000,000%. And if you think that there's something behind that, then you're crazy. Good night, Alfred.
So anyway, that's from Lego Batman. The suspects who range in age from 35 to 47 because they need money hit stores including Target, Home Depot, and Lowe's in search of limited edition box sets of toys. And the Lego Fortnite limited edition toys are the number one target. They then put it on Nextdoor app, Craigslist or whatever. Physically, they were the physical ones that they were selling out of the backs of cars. They're putting in loot in stash houses in Southern California. Not an isolated incident. Philadelphia, Green Bay, Wisconsin, store in Vegas. So obviously, it's a nationwide thing, unlike child sacrifice. The number one thing is kits that are Star Wars spaceships. They sell for north of $1,000. And this means unopened package. That's what you're paying for. So that means complete set in there. And this is what's crazy. A set that turns into Han Solo's Millennium Falcon. When I say turn into, I mean you build. The Millennium Falcon ranges between $1,000 and $4,000 according to the website Work and Money. And what's funny is that they did a George Lucas original models of Star Wars exhibit at the Reagan Library once. And that original Millennium Falcon is really huge. And it's so freaking, I mean, you had to walk all the way around it and there were different lights on it. And it was so realistic. You walk 10 feet away and it looks like a real spaceship is there. The thing about the Legos is that it's Lego. To me, it has zero value. And I don't have someone in my house who thinks that that's neat. And that Lego Millennium Falcon. But so according to the website Work and Money, which apparently is for fences and thieves and things like that, no shortage of online reports of Lego thievery while robbers smashing through glass storefront door and showing guns. Sure. So much teen crime to get to today. But let me start with this. Okay, so we have a not so great thinker in the form of a woman who decided that her stupidity should cost the lives of her life partner and her two children that she made with the life partner and then take her own life. So I'm going to say not a great thinker. Someone who gets into Berkeley Law, they should be smart, right? Or should they be diverse? Well, apparently they're not all smart because two professors at Berkeley Law decided to have on Wednesday three dinner parties in one day with three tranches of graduating Berkeley Law students. Okay, so we don't know if they've passed the bar yet. I haven't passed the bar. But they do have their JDs from UC Berkeley, so employment is looming or charity work or whatever. But because one of the professors was Jewish, and he's the dean of the UC Berkeley Law School, Erwin Chemerinsky and his wife Catherine Fisk, she chose not to be his slave and take his name, are hosting some students, and one of them, because the lunch slash dinner coincided with the ending of Ramadan, decided to bring her own karaoke machine with a mic and then denounce all Jews and Israel and what they're doing in Gaza and the whole thing. The Berkeley Law Dean, School of Law Dean, Professor Chemerinsky, does know that if he wants you off his property, that makes you a trespasser. He knows that. She doesn't understand. She thinks that she can walk onto someone else's property and without invitation, in this case by invitation, but when told to leave, stayed there. She thinks she has the right to just talk. So how'd that go? Because there are some lines that even the UC Berkeley Dean of Law won't cross. Unless he will cross them.
Peace and blessings.
So you have people sitting around, folding wooden chairs, round tables with white cloths. Looks like a nice time, lovely time even for them. And then this woman gets up there and she starts teaching me about Ramadan and all this. And Professor Chemerinsky's onto her pretty early on.
Blessings upon you all. Tonight, we are gathered here in the name of commemorating our final few weeks as law students.
This is my house.
Tonight is also the last night of the holy month of Ramadan, where millions of Muslims around the world fast.
So now Catherine's in on the act. Catherine, an older woman, and also Professor Chemerinsky, white-haired. And of course, you know, there's some aggression doesn't live in this house. This is a house where they expect all people to behave as they do in the Dick Van Dyke Show or something. But Professor Fisk, his wife, she's putting hands on the trespasser. By the way, the Bill of Rights doesn't apply in my house. I love that. You went to law school and you're lecturing a law school professor that you have a First Amendment right to ignore an order not to trespass?
It's in our house.
This is our First Amendment right.
No,
it is. The National Lawyers Guild has informed us this is our First Amendment right. And they are aware of this. They're not wrong.
This is my house.
This is my house, and you're no longer welcome here.
Anyway, let me take a minute and a half of this idiocy out of it, because of course, they're better than those of you that resort to physical force. You're Neanderthals and probably MAGA. So how'd that wind up?
Please leave our house now.
This is not your place. This is my home.
I had a home in Palestine too, and people took it.
So anyway, I love that part. The false equivalency. So that's a real thing that really happened. But Garry Kasparov is gonna talk to. When we come back, I'll tell you what's on the table. The most blatant example of free political advertising of all time. And one of the great thinkers that speaks English in our world today loves America, hates Putin, and spells out to an audience that probably doesn't understand what he's saying that the end of American power means the end of the dollar as the reserve currency. You don't like inflation yesterday? Are you this guy?
Can somebody explain to me in crayon eating terms why I make over three times the federal minimum wage and I cannot afford to live? And I do not want to hear the pull yourself up from your bootstraps, work 90 hours a week. That's not the goal, guys.
I don't think this guy wants to hear me explain to him what advantage he has speaking in English when he calms down and using the United States dollar, the world reserve currency, because America is the mightiest nation of all for the past 80 years. All right, back in a second, 800-465-8770, Practice Friday underway. Full speed in fourth gear, back in a second on AM 770 KTTH. I captured some lies by omission today, so wait till you hear those. So, the dean of the UC Berkeley Law School, Chemerinsky, they call him Chem, put up an invitation. And on just last week, and he put out a statement about the Palestinian student, Palestinian American student who used that dinner at his house to op-ed about that he was a Zionist, and then when told to leave, did not leave, and she must have skipped the day at UC Berkeley Law School where they teach the law. Or something. And of course, she's all over social media today. In an interview yesterday, Wednesday, she said she felt assaulted by Professor Catherine Fisk, the dean's wife, and that she was considering filing charges. You know what? Consider in this hand and crap in the other, as they say at the law school I'm going to run. The professor said, citing the law, quote, "The house is privately owned by my wife and me. The mortgage is in our names. It is on a street in Oakland. It is not owned by the university, on university property, or in any way paid for by the university," Chemerinsky said in an interview with the LA Times. "It is private property. The First Amendment simply does not apply there." I love, for the home of the free speech movement. "No one has the right to come into my house or yours and disrupt a dinner. As a matter of constitutional law, this is absolutely clear." Like, what are you, the dean of the Berkeley Law School? Last week, there was an awful poster on social media and bulletin boards in the law school building of a caricature of me holding a bloody knife and fork with the words, in large letters, "No dinner with Zionist Chem while Gaza starves." He said in the same statement, "I never thought I would see such blatant anti-Semitism with an image that invokes the horrible anti-Semitic trope of blood libel and that attacks me for no apparent reason than I am Jewish." Yes, you can call the police. And yes, Mrs. Chemerinsky, Professor Fisk, I sense she goes by Ms., can put her hands on you if she identifies as a her or her hands as hands. "This is not the first conflict in recent months involving this particular law school, and this is where you reap what you sow. You make this environment, now you got to deal with it. Now some poor sod who's still on the Oakland Police Department who decides to show up for work that day has to deal with your crap. In the fall, a professor ignited controversy when he published an opinion in the Wall Street Journal titled, 'Don't Hire My Anti-Semitic Law Students.' Students and alumni petitioned Chemerinsky to take action in response. Chemerinsky stood up for the professor, saying he was defending free speech, even if people find it deeply offensive." Thank you. That's how that works. And that's why I always say, if you have the right to say it, I'll defend you saying it. But when you walk into someone else's home, if you're uninvited or you're unwanted, you're a trespasser, madam. I'll defend opposite opinions because who do I expect to be around to defend mine, right? The minor tend to be well thought out and things like that. Well, let's move on to logic class. There's a thing called lie by omission. If I know that we're in the Death Star trash compactor, but there's a way out and I fail to mention that, well, I'm just stupid. If I'm on the stand and I omit that the gun was empty when he pulled the trigger at me and I just leave it, he pulled the trigger, that's a lie by omission, though I'll only be called on it if the attorney calls me on it. Well, you know what a big lie by omission is? Is the fact that the Arizona Supreme Court, because this is the White House is relying on this, by the way, they're relying on you getting 10 minutes into any show on MSNBC before they mention this. Let's go to Channel 7 in Phoenix, Arizona Family. The Arizona Supreme Court ruled on Tuesday to return to a pre-statehood territorial law banning abortions in all cases. The court voted 4-2 to lift the stay on the territorial law, meaning a Civil War era 1864 law could go into effect in 60 days. That's 6-0, a 6 and then a 0, 60 days. There is a 15-day window for a trial court to issue a mandate, another 45 days before any changes are in effect. So it's not tomorrow that women's health care is going to be denied or whatever. But one of the most loathsome senators out there is a pure political climber, a guy who married a wealthy congresswoman named Gabby Gifford. And then I'm here to tell you, deep down in his heart of hearts, he would not be anybody if she wasn't shot in the head, if there was not an attempt on his life, and he's taken up the anti-gun mantle now, because this is the party talking point right now, and they're losing it because the Trump dominated the 63 conservative court led by Alito, who never thought Roe v. Wade should be federal law, always thought it should be a state issue, made it a state issue. So Arizona, the decision was a purely legal one. It wasn't should there be an abortion. It was, well, if that law is going to be struck down, what would take over for it? Well, as it turns out, Arizona, not a real old state, 1864. Okay, so there's that. So here's Mark Kelly on Morning Joe this morning on MSNBC. See if you can hear him say that the law is not the law for 60 days. So there is a Republican land rush to get in there and get the Arizona legislature to correct this into a 15-week thing. But not, in other words, not a all-out abortion ban in Arizona, which, by the way, the 1864 law is not even an all-out abortion law because I happen to have it in there. Anyway, take it away, Navy test pilot, astronaut, hide behind that, Mark Kelly.
You know, CEOs about specific cases where a woman was going into, they didn't want to treat the woman until she was nearing sepsis.
That case was not in Arizona, so there you go. Stolen valor.
I mean, that puts that woman's life literally at risk. You ask, what can we do? Well, the legislature could pass a repeal of this 1864 law. They could have done it yesterday. They didn't. There was chaos at our state legislature. They adjourned because they knew the votes were actually there. There are a few Republicans and the Democrats that would repeal this draconian law. Didn't happen yesterday. We have other options. And we have...
And by the way, there's... So it's draconian. It's from 1864. It's not in effect for 60 days. So there's nothing to repeal.
A ballot initiative. It'll be on the ballot in November.
So there you go. That's called a lie by omission. And I told you yesterday about the donation in kind, the thing where you turn over 1 minute of airtime to your party's or your candidate's ad and playing it unedited. And there's a loophole. As long as you make it part of your show and say, this is an outrageous ad, here's why, and you play the entire thing, that is... I think a credible complaint to the Federal Election Commission, as long as you, but this is the out, the loophole is deliver it like it's the news.
Chris, I want you to listen to this Biden ad again. There's a line that hit me that strikes me as one of the stronger lines I've heard in political ads. Play this Biden ad again.
Don't worry, I'm not going to make you put up with 60 seconds of Biden ad.
It actually, I don't know if I've ever heard.
Did I edit that much out? Here it is at the end.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
So uninterrupted, they played the ad. Brian edited it because I'm not in the business of giving him freebies.
I don't know if I've ever heard that line where it actually.
And what? Who cares? But anyway, bottom line, that was programmed in. They did this 3 days ago with the Biden. Trump did this about abortion. They're really pushing this. The day after, bad news for inflation hits, they turn the Scarborough up to 11, and he delivered. And this is by the direction of the top person at MSNBC. I mean, literally on the speaker phone with Karine Jean-Pierre. Because Karine Jean-Pierre got her job at MSNBC because of this woman. Now the shoe's on the other foot. But when we come back, Renton kids with their AK pistols. And for people who think that's a contradiction, if you cut down the barrel of an AK-47 and take off the shoulder stock, it's a legal weapon if you purchase it legally. But there is such a thing as an AK pistol. And that's what some teenagers had with them. By teenager, I mean like 12 and 13 and stuff like that. And this just had its conclusion last night. You may not have heard about this, but carjacked with an AK, loaded with actual bullets that fit an AK right after this. Hour number two of the Practice Friday First period is over. Back in a second. AM 770 KTTH.